Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
If you have your Bible, turn it to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We're going to start reading in the 19th verse, but just to give you a little bit of a setup, there are two main characters in this story that we're looking at. One is a man named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a powerful man of God. But in this story, we see him going to find a guy named Elisha. And the reason he's going to find Elisha is because Elisha is going to pick up the call of God that is on Elijah's life, and he's going to move it forward. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. When Elijah finds Elisha, he doesn't look like a mighty prophet of God. He looks like a farmer. Here's what I want you to understand. Your life may not look like you want it to look right now, but you can grow into it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can grow into it. Say it like you mean it. You can grow into it. So let's look at this. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting in verse 19. It says, so Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. He took the plowing equipment, used it to start a fire. He cooked his oxen. And then he steps into a journey to grow into the person that God's called him to be. I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding where they give you like a little wedding favor on the way out. Some people, they'll do koozies with the name of the wedding party on it and the date. And the idea is it's just something for you to remember the occasion. When my wife and I got married, we gave away these little seedlings. It was like a little pine tree. And the idea is, you know, you take the seedling home, you plant it, it grows into a great tree, and then when you walk out on your porch in the morning with your coffee and you look at that tree, you remember me. You know, it's like, hey, I like that. And so I took a few of these home because I had great plans for them. I was going to become a forester, if you will. I don't know if that's a real word, but just stay with me for the sake of the sermon. I took these seedlings home, had great dreams for what these seedlings would become. And so I took them and I placed them on the top shelf of my refrigerator. Now, I don't know if your refrigerator is like my refrigerator, but my refrigerator tends to get a little bit cluttered. You know, things just kind of get all over the place. And so over time, those seedlings were forgotten about and they were left in the fridge. And then one day I was shifting things around and I see these seedlings there and I was shocked that a tree had not grown yet. But here's the thing, it didn't grow because it wasn't in the right place. Are you with me? If you want to grow, you've got to be in the right place. The seedling had the potential to grow. The seedling has a purpose that it could grow into, but it did nothing because it was not in the right place. This morning, I want to talk to you about growing. I was praying, God, what is the word that you would have for me and this church for 2025? And immediately the word growth dropped into my spirit because God wants to grow you. He wants to grow you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally. What do I mean? Like every aspect of your life, God desires for you to grow. But here's the thing about growth. It doesn't happen on accident. Elisha did not accidentally become the next prophet of God. He grew because he was positioned. And so the theme of our talk today is going to be positioning for growth. How many of you want to grow this year? If you want to grow, you've got to position yourself for growth. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got to position for it. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning is if I'm going to position myself to grow this year, it's going to happen because I have a connection to the Holy Spirit. This is very important for us to understand. If I'm going to grow, I have to be connected to the Holy Spirit because it is the Holy Spirit that activates the purpose of God in my life. And then the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to walk it out. See, without the Holy Spirit, Elisha was nothing more than a farmer. But once the Spirit of God touched his life, he moved in great might and great power. See, the reason the Holy Spirit is so important is because he takes us beyond our natural limitations. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you have some limitations in the natural, but not with Christ Jesus. Not with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes into your life, all things become possible. He activates you. He breathes life into you. He pulls you into your purpose. But apart from the Spirit, you can do nothing. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can do nothing. You know, John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Why? Because it's your connection to him that allows the Spirit that was in him to flow through you so that you can do what he's called you to do. Have you ever messed around with a bounce house or a moonwalk before? Anybody ever set one of those up? Well, you know the concept. There's this blower that has to be plugged into the wall, and then you connect the blower to the bounce house. Now, I don't care how much fun you think you're going to have in that moonwalk. Ain't nothing going to happen unless it's connected to that blower. Are you following me? As a matter of fact, if you blow it up with the blower and then you disconnect it, what's going to happen? It's going to deflate. I remember several years ago, I took my daughter to one of those bounce house places, and I went up to the top of this 25-foot slide with her. Now, thankfully, it was just her and I in the place at the time, and you'll understand why in a moment. But when we got to the top of that slide, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the blower got disconnected. I don't know if the blower got kinked up. I don't know if I exceeded the weight limit for the moment. I don't believe that to be true. But it started deflating on us. Now imagine you're 25 feet in the air, it's deflating, and I've got a 2-year-old daughter. So I did what any loving father would do. I took her and threw her down the slide, and then I jumped head first to go down the slide. The problem is, as I'm going down, the friction of the slide pulled my pants down with it. That's why I'm happy no one was there that day. But the point is, if there's a kink or there's a disconnection, then the bounce house can't function. I need you to see that's how your life is. It doesn't matter how much potential you have. If you are not connected to the Holy Spirit, if you do not remain connected to the Holy Spirit, you will never accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. My great-grandfather, he had an elementary school education. He had to leave school to help his family on the farm, because it's back, you know, in the days where you had to work the family farm, and working was more important than your education back then, because that's how you fed the family. So my great-grandfather had an elementary school education. Most of us would say that's the type of person that's never going to accomplish anything. But see, he had this encounter with the Holy Spirit when he was a young boy that changed his life forever. He had a meeting with God where he said, God, I want all of you. Come on, somebody. You're talking about dangerous prayers, Bob? That's a danger. God, I want all of you. I want to be consumed by you. I want to be filled with you. And in that moment, the power of God came on his life, and it forever changed him, because that little boy with an elementary school education went on to meet with kings and dignitaries. He went on to build the largest church in his denomination, not because of him, but because of Christ, who filled him with his Spirit. Church, every day that should be your prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, empower me. Holy Spirit, everything that you have, deposit inside of me. I want to be completely consumed with who you are. I need you, Holy Spirit, to give me the mind of Christ. Did you know you have the ability to think on a different level than you currently think? It's called, what the Bible would say, the mind of Christ. And that transformation that happens in your mind is through having a connection with the Holy Spirit, because he changes the way you think. He changes your desires, and then he gives you the ability to accomplish it. Let me tell you something. A life filled with the Spirit is a life without limits. A life filled with the Spirit is a life that can do anything that God has called them to do. I want to encourage you this year to grow beyond your current situation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Move out and become something. Move out and do something. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. If you're filled with the Spirit, you can accomplish great things. But here's the thing about growth. It's not just a connection to the Holy Spirit. I mean, he is an absolute necessary. You've got to be connected. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got to be connected. You know, because without the Holy Spirit, the whole bounce house is coming down. But you've also got to be connected to the right people, which means you've got to have the right relationships in your life, because relationships will help you grow into the place that you need to go. Have you ever heard the saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future? That is 100% true. If I can see who you surround yourself with and who you allow to invest their thoughts into you, I can show you where you're going. Why? Because you will gravitate towards what you hang out with. Can I show you what the Bible says? Watch this. In Proverbs 13:20, the Bible says, whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, you become what you hang out with. If I want to grow, I've got to be very careful with who I allow into my life. That doesn't mean I'm rude to people. That doesn't mean I don't spend some form of time with them so that I can invest into them. But I've got to be careful who I allow to invest into me, because right connections give us the right resources we need to grow and develop. I want to say that again. Right connections give us the right resources we need to grow and develop. In the story that we read about Elijah and Elisha, I want you to understand that Elisha could have never become a mighty man of God without his connection to Elijah. Elijah's purpose would have never been fulfilled without his connection to Elisha. That's how important connections are. We are created and designed by God to function in community, not alone, period, end of sentence. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible teaches us that he took Adam, he took man that he formed from the ground, and he placed them in the garden alone. So here we have a man in a great environment surrounded with the presence of God. You would think, I got everything that I need. I've got the environment, I've got the presence, I'm good to go. And God says it's not good for man to be alone. So what does he do? He gives him a woman for the purpose of starting a family, for the purpose of starting a community, because we're better together. We're stronger together. We're less vulnerable to the attack of the enemy when we are connected to the right people. Have you ever watched the Nature Channel? When a lion's out hunting, you'll notice when that lion starts prowling around, it's looking for the weak link. It's looking for the animal that slips away from the pack. The reason is because the one that slips away from the pack becomes vulnerable. Because if it stayed with the pack is stronger than the lion. The Bible says that the enemy, Satan, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's he looking for? The weak link. He's looking for the one that's vulnerable. Listen, you're not intended to go through life alone. you're intended to go through life with healthy community because we strengthen one another. Our prayer, which has great power, is magnified when we're connected to one another. It's like connecting batteries together. The more you get in that circuit, the more power is going to flow. Please understand, we have to be connected to the right people in our life, and we've got to make sure we disconnect from those who aren't going in the same direction as us, which can be painful because we love them. And again, I'm not saying stop loving them. I'm not saying stop praying for them. What I'm saying is stop listening to their counsel. Stop surrounding yourself with people who aren't going in the same direction you want to go. If you're wanting a marriage that thrives, you need to hang out with people that have thriving marriages. If you hang around a lot of people that have busted up marriages, guess what's going to happen to you eventually? You're going to get a busted up marriage. Not intentionally, but that's where you're going to go. If you're trying to break a cycle of addiction in your life, you've got to change who you're hanging out with, because if you continue hanging out with people who are in addiction and not trying to walk away from that addiction, eventually, no matter how good you're doing, you're going to slip back into it. It's like if you have a donut fetish, Dunkin' Donuts is not the place to hang out, because eventually you're going to snag you one. I don't care how much willpower you have. If you keep on going into places that your flesh is drawn to, eventually you're going to take hold of it. Who you connect yourself to is very important. Samson had tremendous potential. You know his story? He had tremendous potential. He did some phenomenal things. I'm blown away with his story, because if you read it, this man could fight 1,000 men at once and take them out. No one was stronger than Samson. No one had more power than Samson. No army could stand in Samson's way. But his life was destroyed because of one person he connected himself to that he should not have connected to. Connections are important. Who you connect yourself to really matters. If you want to grow this year, you've got to be connected to the Holy Spirit, but you've also got to be connected to some people who are going in the same direction as you. People that will encourage you when you're down. People that will pray for you when you need prayer. People that will lift you up when you're down. We all go through those things, and there's nothing worse than being depressed and feeling like you're by yourself. We're all going to have moments where we feel down or depressed, but man, when I know that I've got somebody there that cares for me, somebody that's praying for me, somebody I'm connected to that can help pull me out, man, that does something. We've got to be connected. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got to be connected. The next thing, if you want to grow, you've got to be planted in the Word. You have to be planted in the Word. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, blessed, that should be the goal, everyone. When I talk about growth, I'm talking about stepping into a place of blessing. When I talk about mentally, I want to be blessed. What does that look like to have the mind of Christ? Emotionally, I want to be blessed. I want to know that I'm whole, that I'm complete. Physically, I want to be blessed. I want to walk in health. Financially, I want to be whole. The Bible says that above all things, he wished that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God's not just only interested in the command center of your life, your soul prospering, but he wants every aspect of your life to prosper and to grow. In order for that to happen, I've got to have a deep-rooted connection into his Word. He says, blessed is the person, the man, the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, which means I can't allow every voice to influence my life. My life has to be built on something other than people's opinions. My life has to be built on something other than what I see in the news. My life has to be built on something other than I see happening in society and culture. He gives us the key. The man who's blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That means on God's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. That means you're feeding yourself constantly with what God's word is saying. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. Watch this. The leaf does not wither in all, somebody say all, in all that he does, he prospers. Why? Because his life is being directed by the Spirit and the Word, not his feelings, not what he sees. When I talk about being planted in the Word, I'm talking about hearing, receiving, and doing. Hearing, receiving, doing. That's huge, very important to understand, because there's a lot of people that hear the word and nothing shifts or changes in their life. I've got to be able to hear it, receive it, that means I make it my own, and then I've got to do something with it. See, if I'm not willing to walk in what God's word is saying, I cannot expect to experience the outcome of what God says he'll do through it. The Bible says that he orders the steps of the righteous. But I've got to be willing to walk in those steps that he's ordered for me. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God will start showing me some steps to take. But I've got to be obedient enough to take those steps, because it is the action of moving in the word that brings about the blessing. Listen, obedience to the word of God is the thing that brings the blessing of God into your life. The reason there are so many people that never experience the blessing is because they haven't teamed it up with any obedience. They know the scripture. They can quote the scripture, but they've never done anything with it. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches which are in glory. We get excited about that. Man, God's going to supply all my needs. No, not necessarily. See, I've got to read that in context. The Apostle Paul is talking to a group of people who are financially supporting the ministry. And he's saying, because you've done this, read it in context, because you've done this, be sure of this, God's going to supply all of your needs. He's building that truth based upon what God's word has said, that if you sow a seed, a harvest is coming. Are you following what I'm saying? It is the obedience that unlocks the word. When we hear a sermon like this, there are people who come to church. They listen, they enjoy, but they never do anything. I've got to like practically start taking things like this home and saying, okay, if I have to have right connections, let me examine the connections that are in my life. Who do I need to surround myself with, and who do I need to separate myself from? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. What am I willing to do with what I've heard? You know the parable where Jesus talks about the man who builds his house on the sand, the man who builds his house on the rock? He says, one man builds his house on the sand, storm comes, knocks the house out. One man builds his house on the rock, which is a good, solid, firm foundation. When the same storm comes, that house stands. Why? Because it's built on the proper foundation. Then he gives us some really great insight. He says, the man who builds his house on the sand is the one who hears my word and does nothing with it. In other words, you're just fooling yourself. You think everything's going to be okay, but when life comes, when the storm comes, it takes you out because you have no firm foundation. But the one who builds his life on the rock is the one who hears my word and does it. See, when I hear his word and I do it, I can stand in faith that even though the storm comes, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. I'm coming through this because his promise tells me that. See, I've got my life built on and rooted in the word, not in what I see. I know I'm going to make it in life. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have troubles. I know I'm going to make it. I know God is taking care of me. Why? Because I have built my life in his word. The next thing, if you want to grow, you've got to build your life in a way that it can be planted in his house. You have to be planted in his house. Before I continue the sermon, can I get on my soapbox for a second? Let me bring it out. I am sick and tired of people saying, I'm a Christian and I don't need to go to church. And that may offend some of you, That may rub some of you the wrong way, and that's not my intention, but you need to hear the truth. If you think that way, you do not know Scripture. Christ came to build a church, a group of people that come together and represent Him on this earth. So many people think the concept of salvation is just to get us from here to heaven, and you're missing it. It's not trying to get us from here to heaven. His desire is to bring heaven to the earth. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven? Through Christ Jesus. Well, Christ Jesus is no longer here in bodily form, but his body remains because we are the body of Christ. That's who the church is. So it is through us that the will of God is accomplished on this earth. Are you following what I'm saying? So when I say I don't need church, I'm saying I don't need to be a part of the body. But here's the problem with that. A person who separates himself from the body will become an ineffective member of the body. If you see this, I got 10 of them. If I cut my finger off, I'm not going to do it. Some of y'all are new. You're like, this guy's crazy. He cut his finger off. If I cut my finger off right now and it fell on the ground, you could walk up and say, hey, that's a finger. And you would be absolutely 100% correct. It is a finger. But it's a severed finger, which means it's not receiving the nutrients from the body, which means it's going to be ineffective. See, that's what happens when we disconnect ourselves from the body. If we are in Christ, that means we are now a part of the body, and we should prioritize those type things in our life because it will affect whether or not we grow. And I'm not just talking about attending. Attending is so important, but I'm talking about actually connecting, getting to know people, getting involved, being a supporter. That's how you start developing a root system to where you can grow. Watch what the Bible says, because I just want y'all to know that, like, I'm not just like shooting from the hip up here, like making up new theology. Like, Jesus has always been about his church and building his church and growing his church, which means he wants to grow you because you're a part of the church. But watch what it says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How can we stir each other up if we're not together to stir one another up? How can I be stirred up if I'm not connected to someone who's stirring? Are you following that train of thought? If iron sharpens iron, that means I've got to come into contact with some iron at some point in my life to be sharpened. So he says, let us consider how to stir one another up. Why? Because that's what we're here for, to build one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to help one another, to fulfill our purpose together, which is to be the body of Christ, an expression, an image of God here on this earth. Then he says in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together. It does not get more plain than that. He's not giving us an option. He's saying this is highly important. You need to meet together. He says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. See, some have made it their habit to not prioritize the house of God. Now, listen, I know you'll go on vacations, you'll have things happen. I get that. But overall, like, this should be a passion and a priority. He's saying, don't get in the habit of neglecting that. Because if you neglect that, you're going to neglect your growth. Now, this is for people who want to grow. This is for people who want to see something shift and change in your life. If you want everything to stay the same, keep on doing what you're doing. But if you want to, like, come to life and experience something new, then you've got to start doing something new. 2025 has to be a year that you connect. He says, don't neglect meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, if I neglect the opportunity to come connect with the church, I'm neglecting my opportunity to grow. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, the Bible says, And he, talking about Jesus, Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, that's the pastors, and the teachers. Why did he give these? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Are you seeing that? The purpose of the ministry gifts is to build the body. And so he has placed within the church these gifts to help develop the individual members so that they can become an effective part of that community. If church wasn't important, Jesus would have never given the fivefold ministry gifts. He would have just said, believe in me and all things are good. All you need to do is just believe I died on the cross for you and you're good to go. Because one day you'll make it to heaven. And that's how many of us live. I say a sinner's prayer, I'm good to go, do whatever I want, show up whenever I want, serve whenever I want, give whenever I want, I'm good to go. No, you're not. Not according to Scripture. Do we want a life built on Scripture or people's opinions? Scripture. Because Scripture is going to give me the firm foundation. To grow, you have to be planted in the house of God where you can get some roots. Somebody say roots. Psalm 92 verse 12 says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Do you see that? The righteous are planted, and because they're planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish. That means they grow and they become productive. Two reasons that some people never grow is, one, they never activate the Word of God in their life. Number two, they never connect to a local assembly or a local expression of who Christ is on this earth. We're continually just uprooting ourselves, moving place to place to place to place. I'll go here because I like this, and I'll go here and I like this. And the problem is you're continually uprooting yourself, never allowing yourself to grow. And you need to know, as much as God wants to grow you, there is an enemy who wants to uproot you. And he'll do everything he can to uproot you so that you're not apart. He'll feed you the lie that the church is not important. He'll cause you to get upset with someone within the church so that you stop going. Hello? I need you to know that if we hang around each other long enough, we're going to rub each other the wrong way. That's just a part of family. If you're married in here, you've got kids, you know that not every day is sunshine and roses. Sometimes you get in arguments, disagreements, there's miscommunication. Sometimes there's an explosion. But when that happens, you don't abandon your family. I hope you don't. If you do, come back next week. We're talking about relationships. You work through it. Why? Because you're a unit. That's how it's supposed to be within the body of Christ. If I get upset at Bob, I've got to be mature enough to go to Bob and work it out. If Bob gets upset at me, he needs to be mature enough to come to me and work it out. If not, we're babies that never grow. And did you know that growth has nothing to do with how long you've been a part of the church? See, in the natural, every year that you grow, you're getting older. You're getting more mature, but it's not like that in the spiritual realm. It has nothing to do with how many years you've been a Christian. It's all about how many years and how long have you been connected to Christ, His Spirit, and His Word. See, there are people who have been a part of church for 35, 40, 50 years that are non-effective members of the church. And then there are people who have been saved a year, 2 years, who are dynamic, powerful people in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're connected. They've got some roots. Listen, we've got to grow up if we want to grow. We've got to become more mature if we want to grow. Somebody say, I need the house. If you want to grow, there are some things you're going to have to walk away from. If you want to grow, there are some things you're going to have to walk away from. In the story of Elijah and Elisha, Elisha's a farmer. We see him working the plow behind the oxen. But before he goes and fully commits his life to following Elijah, which was necessary for him to become who God had called him to be, he burns the plow and cooks the meat. What's that saying? I'm not coming back here. I'm fully committed to stepping away from that season of my life. There are no options. I either continue following Elijah, because I have nothing else to go back to. See, sometimes we give ourselves too many options, too many things to go back to. The problem is those things that we keep on going back to are the things that tend to stunt our growth. Did any of your parents ever tell you, don't drink coffee when you're a kid because it'll stunt your growth? It's a lie. I Googled it this morning. It doesn't stunt your growth. But now, as a parent, I understand why you would tell your kid that. Because it's like, I don't need them jacked up on caffeine, brother. You know. But the reason I say that is because there are things that will stunt our growth. There are behaviors that we keep on going back to that will stunt our growth. And if we want to grow, we've got to say, okay, that's not who I am. I'm walking away from it. There is sin that will stunt your growth and keep you held back from stepping fully into the person that God's called you to be. There are relationships that will stunt your growth, friendships that will stunt your growth. And God is saying, if you want to move forward and grow into something new, as much as you hate it, as much as you're familiar with it, you've got to be willing to burn that thing, cook the meat, and move on. There is condemnation that will stunt your growth. See, when I talk about walking away from some things, some of you need to walk away from the past that's trying to keep you stuck. The memory of what you've done, the memory of who you were, the memory of what you've gone through. God's wanting to give you a fresh start, but it's really hard for him to pull you into that fresh thing when you keep on dragging the plow and the oxen. Slowing you down. Stunting the growth. What is it this year that you need to cut off and walk away from so that you can grow? What are the decisions that you need to make this year so that you can grow? What are the new commitments you need to make this year so that you can grow? You've got to make up your mind for yourself. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. And nothing's holding me back. Listen, I promise you, life can completely change for you. Life can change for you, but you've got to make up your mind that you're taking hold of it. See, too many times we're waiting on God to do things for us that he's called us to do for ourselves. He'll give us the ability, the power, and the opportunity, but we got to do it. We got to take it. Last night I went to this place called the Sushi Factory, Revolving Sushi Factory, took my kids there. And there was this, like, conveyor belt with all this sushi. I was like, did Jesus return? I was like, this is amazing. And, like, as the sushi goes by, I'm reading all the descriptions of the different sushis. And I'm getting hungry. And I'm going, I'm going to get that one. I'm going to get that one. And I'm pointing it all out. And the longer I sat there, the more hungry I got. And I finally realized, like, the sushi's not going to jump off the conveyor belt into my mouth. There's a robot that will bring me my soy sauce and my chopsticks, all that stuff, but the robot's not going to put the sushi into my mouth. What I'm trying to say is God will present the opportunities for growth, but you've got to take it, own it, and eat on it. You've got to make it your life's mission that I'm changing, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to change. And I'm not doing it under my own power. I've got the Holy Spirit who's empowering me and giving me the ability to do what I can't do on my own. Man, church, I can see it. See, I can look at your life and see what it can become. But you've got to be able to see it for yourself. As a pastor, I can only bring you to the water. I cannot force you to drink as much as I would love to. I would love to force you to drink because I know the shift and the change that God would make in your life. You've got to desire that change. You've got to go after that change and allow God to grow you into that season of change. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.